Mark chapter 5 and verse 2. We're going to talk about something here tonight that's important. It's been a while since we've touched on this, but I want to look at it tonight here. And we're living in a time when everything is defiled and unclean. It really is, in every way. Physically, spiritually, and mentally, everything. Your thoughts, everything's defiled. All the spiritual things are defiled. There's a lot of idolatry. There's all kinds of false teachings going around. The world's eat up with it. The churches are ate up with it. Cleanliness is next to godliness. It really is. I think it was you, Daniel, showing me that picture the other day of Europe during the plague. And there was one little spot in Europe, one little area that escaped the plague or the major effects of the plague. It was the only place in Europe. And then, as it turned out, it's where the Jews were. It's where they had reclused themselves to or fled to, you know, because they were being persecuted and chased around. And the reason that the plague didn't affect that area so bad is because they were clean. They washed. They took care of stuff. They had hygiene. They cleaned their stuff. And everybody else was dirty and unclean. You like to eat out? Do you like to eat out? You like to go in these restaurants and eat out? Well, they're unclean. You wonder why you get sick when you go out to eat in these places? I can tell you exactly why. They're unclean. And I won't go into detail about what you're eating, but you wouldn't like it if you knew what you were putting in your mouth in those places. That's why you get sick. Uncleanness causes sickness. It causes death. Yeah? Well, if it's that way physically, it's that way spiritually too. Let's read this verse in Mark chapter 5, verse 2. Bible says here about Jesus, when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now that phrase is used a lot in the New Testament. Unclean spirit. What do you think that is? Have you ever given it any thought? Do you think that's just another term for some obscure demon or something? You think it's just a demon? No, that's an unclean spirit. Is your spirit unclean tonight? Or could you say with a surety that you have a clean spirit? Think about it. That's something to think about, don't you think? Well, let's talk about it here. The unclean spirits were one of the most common things that Jesus and his disciples encountered. They found them everywhere. They found them in the synagogues. In Mark chapter 1, verse 23, that's before this. Mark chapter 1, verse 23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Unclean spirits always cry out. They're never quiet. They got to say what they've got something to say, and they're going to have their say. They're going to spew their uncleanness all over everybody else. They're just like a plugged-up septic tank. It just goes everywhere and pollutes everything and stinks up everything. That's how an unclean spirit affects those around it. And here's one in the synagogue. Yes, sir. They found them in the graveyard. There where we just read Mark chapter 5, verse 2. That was a graveyard. They met him out of the tombs. Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Go to the graveyard. You find somebody with an unclean spirit. They're found in all the places that are associated with sin and death. You'll find unclean spirits. All the places that are associated with sin and death, you'll find unclean spirits. That's right. Y'all listening to me? You go to a ball game, you're going to find unclean spirits there. That's right. You go to any of the things of the world, any of the gathering places of the world, where worldly people, where sinners gather themselves together, and you're going to encounter unclean spirits there. And one of them is liable to take up his abode in you. They were found in the... And by the way, wherever sinners can congregate, they're not clean places. They're unclean places. They're found in children even, and young people, in the Jews, and in the Gentiles. There were unclean spirits in the New Testament. They found them everywhere they went. Jesus and His disciples. Mark chapter 7 and verse 25, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of Him and came and fell at His feet. A woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. How did that young daughter get an unclean spirit? Well, there's a lot of them now have unclean spirits. And it's pretty easy to figure out where they got them. That's right. Children are especially susceptible to unclean things in their spirit and in their body. Good people can have children with an unclean spirit because it's very contagious. And children are very unequipped to resist it. A child, before when they're young, they don't understand the difference between good and evil. If they've never heard unclean things, if they've never saw unclean things, they don't know how to identify it as that. Really? I know that's true because when I was a little kid, I came home from school and told my grandma a dirty word I heard at school. And I really didn't know. I just heard this word at school and I told it to her. And she said, oh, no, don't say that. That's a bad word. Never had heard it before. To my young mind, it didn't mean nothing. That's the way it is with children. So they're easily polluted. They're easily influenced. They don't resist it because they don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Disney knows that. They sure do. Have you ever done any serious looking and studying and reading at what they've put in those family children's Disney movies? I can show you a lot of pictures. I can show you a lot of the scripts and stuff. You'd be shocked. And you wouldn't let your kids be watching it anymore. That's right. But that's where unclean spirits get started. Starts their little minds thinking down a road, down a way. And they go right on down that way. And that's how this woman here, she had a young daughter way back in those days that had an unclean spirit. Peer pressure is difficult for young people to overcome because they're seeking their place and their own identity and their sin, trying to figure out where they fit in and who they are. And so they're quick to take up unclean things. Yeah. Like smoking and chewing and dipping and talking dirty. Yeah. And a multitude of other things. They do that because they want to fit in. And they're easily tempted to do it. And that's the road to an unclean spirit. You start messing with uncleanness and dirtiness. And first thing you know, you got it all over you. You know, I'll go to work on something, and I've learned not to do it, but I've done it in the past. Have on pretty good clothes, and I've got to work on something that's greasy or oily, and I'll say, well, I'll just be careful, and I won't get it on me. I get it all over me every time. Before I'm done, I've ruined my clothes. I've ruined whatever I had on. So, you know, I just don't do it anymore. I mean, unless it's an emergency and I have to, I ain't going to do this with my good clothes on. Because I know what's going to happen. And you can't mess around with uncleanness, spiritual uncleanness, mental uncleanness. You can't mess around with none of that stuff without it getting all over you. And it's hard to get off. It's harder to get it out of your spirit and your soul and out of your mind than it is to get it off of your hands. I've got some stuff at home. It'll take it off of my hands. Go in there and put a little on it, put some water on it, rub it a little bit. Man, my hands are clean and pink. And it's fine. But you can't do your soul that way. Now, the book of Acts talks about the early church. They dealt with unclean spirits a lot. In the book of Acts, chapter 8 and verse 7, the Bible says this, "For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them." Possessed with unclean spirits. This unclean spirit had taken over. And don't think of it as some kind, personify it. Don't make it some kind of a monster that come in and took over. Don't think of it like the Catholics, the big deal now, the Pope's having exorcisms over there, teaching them how to have exorcisms, get rid of it. Man, they're so full of the devils that it's unbelievable. That's the habitation of devils, that bunch. And they're casting out devils? Well, that's a bunch of junk. So don't think about this like that. Don't think of it like a Hollywood movie where where demons have possessed you. This unclean spirit, don't think of it like that. You possessed of an unclean spirit means you're just eat up with filthiness in your soul, in your mind. You have a dirty mind. You have a dirty heart. You have a dirty soul. And it ends up with a dirty body filled with things that you don't want in there. Uncleanness in the spiritual realm, in the mental realm, leads to uncleanness in your physical realm too. They both go hand in hand. Diseases. Somebody said this morning they're talking about new tick diseases and everything this year. Where's those ticks getting that stuff at? I mean, we've always had ticks. We've been pulling ticks off of us since I was a little kid. I mean, and way before that. They've always been ticks. Where are these ticks out here in the woods that ain't never been nowhere? Where are they getting this disease that they're giving everybody? New one every 2-3 years. We've got a new tick disease. You know what's going on? Well, I told somebody this morning there, pestilence, that's what that is. Pestilence, diseases, and destruction through diseases. That's what God sends on people when they're wicked. And they won't turn from their wickedness. God judges them with pestilence. Where does it come from? God. That's where it comes from. That's right. Uncleanness. The Sodomites are full of diseases. And because it's filthy. It's unclean. Yes. The unclean spirits are to be dealt with in the church, not left alone to spread their corruption to the children and to others. An unclean spirit in a church better be dealt with. They dealt with it in the early church. I mean, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice, they don't go away silently. You ever seen a good church fight? It ain't silent. No, sir, boy. I've seen some meek and quiet spirited women get real mean and nasty and loud. That's unclean spirits. They cry out with a loud voice when you get on their case. When you uncover them and identify them and point them out, they don't just crawl away silently. They didn't in the early church. They didn't when Jesus faced them. No, sir. An unclean spirit is a dirty, foul, filthy, morally lewd spirit. Spirit. Life. Spirit means breath. It means life. Living. It's filthy. Your very essence. Everything about you. What motivates you, what you think about, the whole operation of your mind and everything is filthy and corrupt. That's an unclean spirit. They're unclean. You can recognize an unclean spirit by his conversation and by his surroundings. I've heard people talk about these hoarders. you know, they watch a show on TV about hoarders or something, and they're always filthy. Filthy. What do you think that is? What is it that makes somebody be crazy like that and do crazy, unrational things and be filthy? How can anybody live in a house with a bunch of cats and dogs and feces in the floor, you know, sometimes 5 or 6 inches deep? How can they do that? Unclean spirit. An unclean spirit makes people do that. There's the Spirit of God living in a person will make you desire cleanliness. It won't make you a clean freak. It won't make you somebody that can't be touched by any dirt or anything and go around spraying everything. I mean, I ain't talking about that. I'm just talking about plain old not being filthy. There's a difference. You know, where there's no ox and the stall is clean, yeah. You got an ox, you're going to have to clean up a mess once in a while. You got a house where you live in and your kids live in, you're going to have to clean that thing regular or it's going to get filthy. It's a battle all the time. But you will do battle if the Spirit of God's living in you now. Now, if you got an unclean spirit, you won't care nothing about it. Just let her pile up. Just kick it aside. You ever been in somebody's house where there's just a pathway through the house to get where you're going? You ever been in somebody's house where it was so nasty that you couldn't sit down? Everywhere we've ever been, in every church we've ever been in, there's been a family in that church like that, at least one. Man, I remember terrible deals. See, they had an unclean spirit. That's what was wrong with them. But nobody really told them that or dealt with them about it. But they should have. I didn't know to. You know, you don't want to offend people. Because if you offend somebody with an unclean spirit, they're going to holler. You know, they're going to yell at you. They're going to make a loud voice. They're going to raise a commotion. But where an unclean spirit is, I mean, you can tell by the surroundings. You can tell if a person has an unclean spirit by their conversation, the way they talk, what they talk about, the language they use. Yeah. I can walk in one of these restaurants, and I have walked in them before and said, "No, sir, I ain't eating in this place." Turn around and walk out because of the smell. When I walked in, I could smell it, and I thought, "Oh, no, not here. Nuh-uh." I've been in houses like this, and I know what's... You know, if it smells like that out here, what do you think it's like back there in that kitchen where they're cooking the food? Mm-hmm. And you've got unclean people who live in unclean houses working in an unclean restaurant fixing your food for you. And then you eat it. And then you get sick. And then you're looking for the Rolaids or the Pepto-Bismol or the whatever. You either need milk of magnesia or Imodium, what is it? Yeah, yeah. You need something. What you need to do is just not eat that nasty stuff. You can tell somebody, you can tell where an unclean spirit is because there's always something foul and dirty and filthy or lewd. You ever been around somebody that can't talk? You can't talk to them no time without they're all in the gutter. Or they're in the bathroom, you know. That's unclean. That is uncleanness. That's not godliness. You know, you better hear me tonight. That is ungodly. Y'all ought to take it to heart. I'm talking to you tonight. In their speech and in their thoughts, you can always hear and see and sense the unclean things. You can see it in their associations. Birds of a feather do flock together. And unclean people flock together. Yeah, they do. They don't mind the stink. They're used to it. In their entertainment and pastimes, unclean people like unclean things. Unclean spirits take them back to uncleanness, to feed the monster and keep it going. Keep the appetites low and in that area. In their physical environment, in their home, in their body, you can tell uncleanness. Now, I know that everybody here has experienced some friend or somebody you worked with or somebody you went to school with or whatever that was unclean. I mean, somebody who wouldn't take a bath. Somebody, one of you guys, tell me the other day about somebody that they took a bunch of soap and stuff in and said, "Now look, you either the guys here says that if you don't take a bath, they ain't working with you no more." Man, you say, "Well, I'm sorry, I just ain't had time, been too busy and all that." How would you, man? What does it take? How would you feel if you went into work and they presented you a box of soap and deodorant and stuff and said, "You either got to use this or we ain't working with you no more. You stink too bad." Now, how would that make you feel? Well, it'd make me feel ashamed. I'd think, "Oh, my." You know, but I can't imagine ever getting... I've always wondered about that. You know, when I work all day in the hot summertime, I'm aware that I'm dirty and unclean. And I avoid people and stuff. Years ago when I'd worked, and I'd have to go back through Piedmont, we lived out there at Patterson where you do, and I'd worked in the woods all day and I'd stop at the store or something, and I noticed when I'd be standing in line and there'd be people here to the wall and people behind me that they wouldn't get close to me. You know, there was a big space around me. I used to go to jail over there in Greenville years ago, and I got over there one day and found this bunch. It's a long story, but this brother had done something, and then when they come to get him, he gave them his brother's name and told them his brother was him, so they took his brother and put him in jail instead of him. So I found him in jail, and he said, "Man, you need to go talk to my brother because he's out there at the house and he ain't got no food or nothing." And so I went out there and there he was. He was his brain was fried completely. He'd sniffed so much glue that he couldn't even hardly function anymore. But he was happy. He didn't have nothing to eat, but he was. So I took him to church with me and he stunk so bad that it was hard to even ride in the car with him. When I got him to church, he sat on the second pew, and that whole area in the church cleared out. I mean, everybody moved, and, you know, there was a big half moon all around him where there wasn't nobody. And he's leaning up on the back of the pew, you know, listening to the preaching, but everybody else stayed away from him. You've known people like that, haven't you? It's kind of hard to deal with, isn't it? How does people do that? They get used to the smell. They get used to being unclean. And they're not even aware that they're unclean anymore. They're not aware of the cloud that's around them. Somehow they just get used to seeing the people holding their nose and people getting away from them and people are frowning and wrinkling up their face when they get close to them. They just stop seeing all that, I guess. They become unconscious of their uncleanness. Do you know that's the way it works too? These unclean spirits that Jesus encountered and the disciples encountered and the church encountered. They were in churches and in synagogues. People like that. People that were just, you know, given completely up to it. Unclean spirit. It had totally possessed them. It says there in Acts chapter 8 and verse 7, came out of many that were possessed with them. My, my. They have a dirty mind. That's what we say. No, they have an unclean spirit. That's the better description of their condition and what's going on with them. Unclean spirits are everywhere in the day that we live in. You find them in the churches. You'll find them, for the most part, they stay there and they're not even dealt with. They're ministered to. There's enough uncleanness in the churches to feed them and keep them going in their uncleanness. They can, you know, they've got an appetite for unclean things because they have an unclean spirit. And they go after unclean things. Isn't it a shame they can come to church and find enough to feed on? Yeah. They can come to church and the women are dressed immodestly enough. They can feed on that. They can feed their dirty minds. How about that? The language and the content of the preaching and the teaching is such that they can actually go there with an unclean spirit and find enough to feed their unclean spirit. That ought to disturb you. That ought to be disturbing. But it's true. You know, these preachers and these big mega churches and all these modern idolatrous outfits that preach on sex all the time. You know, that one had a bed up on the platform. And such junk as that. Man, the unclean spirits can come in there and have a feast, can't they? Sure they can. That ain't going to drive out unclean spirits. That's going to draw them in. You know, that's not sermon material. I thought we were supposed to preach about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I thought we were supposed to preach about sin and redemption and atonement for sin and repentance and Jesus coming back and heaven and hell. I thought that's what we're supposed to preach about. When did it turn to all of this? You'll even find preachers with unclean spirits spreading their corruption to the whole church with crude, profane, suggestive talk. I can show you sermons where preachers cuss in the sermon. I saw one of Jack Shop. Was that his name up there? It was so profane, I don't even want to describe it to you, what he was doing in the message. But it was unbelievable. Just unbelievably profane and filthy. And it was before all the trouble. He's in prison now, by the way. But, you know, before they found out about all that, he's preaching this message full of uncleanness. Anybody with any kind of discernment could have seen that and said, oh my goodness, what in the world? Unclean spirits can feed on that. That's why when you get an outfit like that, it produces a mass amount of uncleanness. That's why there's been so many preachers go out of there and go off in a church somewhere and commit adultery and abuse little girls and everything else. There's never been any place in the country that ever put out so much of that as that place. That's right. That's because uncleanness was there. And uncleanness draws unclean spirits, and they're fed and strengthened and then sent out. You'll find plenty of unclean spirits in the schools. Christian schools are no exception. And sometimes they're more unclean than other schools. Oh, yes. I know what I'm talking about. I've been around Christian schools for the last 35 years. And I know exactly what went on. And they're no better. And in a lot of ways, they're worse for the uncleanness. Yeah. Now, the thing about it, in the public school, they can have it out in the open. In the Christian school, they learn how to disguise it and hide it and conceal it and be two-faced. Be unclean, but appear to be, have the outside of the sepulcher all varnished and shiny. You're very likely to hear an unclean spirit talking when you go out in public anywhere. You know that. I mean, you go anywhere, station, restaurant, anywhere you go, store, you're going to hear, you're going to see uncleanness, ain't you? An unclean spirit looks for an unclean place to dwell. All the devils besought Him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Mark chapter 5, verse 12. This same man that he met in the tombs in verse 2, he cast out the legion of devils that was in him, the unclean spirit that was in him, cast, and they said, let us go into the swine. Yeah. And it drove the pigs crazy. And they ran off a cliff into the sea and drowned themselves. That unclean spirit that was in that man drove the hogs to kill themselves. So how can a man stand it? Think about it. They go from one unclean place to another. They can't dwell in a clean place. You clean the place up, and they won't be there. Keep the house clean, and you won't have much trouble with unclean things. They just won't. They don't live there. You know, germs and other things, you can get rid of them with cleanliness. Yes, you can. They'll do well in unclean situations. You remember the peanut butter deal they had a few years ago where the rats were all in the peanut butter and they found them enough and they canceled. They took all the peanut butter away for a good while. Couldn't get Peter Pan peanut butter nowhere because it was full of rat hairs and stuff and they got rid of it. Well, they found out they wasn't doing nothing. They was just letting her go. Boy, just leaving stuff open out on the floor. It's just open invitation to the vermin to come in and tighten things down. Clean up the place. Don't leave food around for them, and they won't be coming in like that so much. You know? And I ain't talking to you guys. I know you caught a mouse in your house last night. Everybody gets a mouse in their house once in a while. That don't mean you're unclean because you got a mouse in your house. But, you know, when they're crawling across you in the bed, and they're just, every time you turn around, one's running across the room. I mean, I knew a guy when we was up at Piedmont. He sat in his living room and shot rats in the kitchen with a .22. I mean, their house was infested with it. And I can tell you why. They were unclean. They were filthy people. Instead of cleaning up the house and plugging up the holes, he just sat in the living room chair and shot them with a .22 in the kitchen floor. There's another one. Daughter, go drag it out, throw it outside. You know, they can't dwell in a clean place. We live in an unclean world. So whatever's under the influence and control of the world is going to be unclean. Y'all hear me? That's right. Don't tell me about the clean TV shows. Don't tell me about Hollywood movies that are clean and okay and you ain't convincing me. I've been around too long. They're a filthy bunch. They're a bunch of sodomites. They're a bunch of adulterers and whoremongers and ungodly people. And they ain't going to make no wholesome, moral, edifying movie for the Christian people to watch and be edified in their faith. They hate God. And they hate Christianity. And they hate righteousness. They're unclean, filthy, and they're eat up with unclean spirits. So everything they do is going to be unclean. Amen. I told you, and I believe every word I said, and it's right. You don't need it. Why you need that anyway? They ain't going to clean it up either. And it ain't never been clean, you know. The old stuff. Every once in a while we listen to that old radio, you know, but even like, you know, the old westerns and stuff, when you go back to them, what are they doing on those things? Where does it always, it either starts there, it's there in the middle, or it ends there in a saloon. They're drinking whiskey, the saloon girls, who are prostitutes, are there, luring them and flirting with them, and, you know, come on. Uncleanness. Do you really care about it? If you don't care, it's because you got an unclean spirit. That's right. If you don't care. And if you can just feed on uncleanness, it's because you got an unclean spirit. If your spirit is clean, if you're free of that, you ain't going to have no appetite for that stuff. You hear me? And it'll be offensive to you. Yes, sir. Seeing and hearing them continually, it's going to subtly influence you, causing their uncleanness to become a part of your thinking, your speech, and your actions. You pick up from them what you hear, what you see them do, what you hear them talk about. It becomes a part of your thinking. And you'll be saying things like they said. You'll be thinking about the things they were doing that you watched them do. That's how it works. So when you see them and hear them continually, they're going to continually influence you, and they're unclean. And you're in an unclean world. And so if you don't want an unclean spirit, you're going to have to take care about it. And you're going to have to do something about it. And the only thing you can do about it is to separate yourself. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the what? Unclean thing. It's very clear what God expects us to do in this unclean world. Get away from it. Don't be listening to it. Don't be entertaining yourself with it. Don't be a part of it. Don't identify with it. Don't run with them. You'll have an unclean spirit. If you allow your thoughts and language to become unclean, then you're inviting an unclean spirit to take up residence. There's a power that comes in, more than just these things. It's a power that takes over your... Actually, it just almost takes over your will. It takes over your thinking. And that's what happened here. This man in the tombs, just think about him. He was a man with an unclean spirit. The other one talked about they were possessed with unclean spirits. That man in the tombs came to Jesus and he was crying out. He was... chains and fetters couldn't hold him. I mean, he was desperate. He had been cutting himself and crying and awake, hollering in the tomb, screaming and hollering day and night in the tomb. He couldn't sleep. He had no peace. His life was ruined by an unclean spirit. It had completely controlled his life. How did he get that way? You ever thought about it? You ever wondered? You ever studied to try to figure out how in the world does that happen? I'm telling you right here tonight. The things I've been telling you, that's exactly... He went down the same road that some of you are going down. And you're liable to end up just where he ended up. If you don't stop, you will. It's a trap. It's something that'll get a hold of you and get control of you. It'll wrestle control away from you. Y'all seen that airplane crashed over there in Europe or France a couple of weeks ago? You know what happened, don't you? There was two men in the cockpit, and the co-pilot said, "Well, we're up to cruising altitude. You was wanting to go to the bathroom? Just go ahead. I can take care of it." He went out. He locked the door, and he crashed the airplane. And the pilot lost control. You know, they said he was beating on the door and trying to get in and screaming and hollering, and you could hear everything. But he crashed the plane into the mountains because he was crazy. But he got control, and he did it, see? You don't think that, you don't think that you can lose control of your mind, of yourself, of the direction you're going? I was thinking about it the other day because I seen Carrie put a picture of them out at the lake, and the dam was right behind them, and there's that trail. And I thought about David taking off. I got a video at home. And I was down at the bottom, and they'd climbed all the way to the top, and David was just about 4 years old, maybe five, and I was watching him, and I could see what he was fixing to do, you know. And he jumped off the top and started running down the side of that dam. Well, you know, it was just, in an instant, you could see he lost control. And, there was nothing he could do to stop. And, of course, Gallo was halfway up the dam, and he caught him as he went by. He grabbed him, or else David would have just been a hamburger by the time he hit the bottom. And you know, it gets away from you. You fool with uncleanness, and you listen to it, and you laugh at it. And you learn it little by little, and you think you're keeping it under control. You're keeping it under control. But there's a point where it tips. And then you've lost it. It gets you. It gets you. You ain't controlling it anymore. It's controlling you. You find yourself driven to seek it. The uncleanness. The unclean thoughts. the unclean way of living, unclean people to be around, the unclean entertainment. You seek it out and search it. You have a ravenous appetite for it. These people that look at pornography, that's exactly what happens to them. They start fooling with it and they think, I've got it under control and it's not going to get me. It's not going to get me, but it gets them. Yeah. If you, profane habits of thought and speech will make your mind and heart a perfect place for an unclean spirit to take up residence. And once he's there, he is in control. And you can't get rid of him, but you're in bondage to him just like this maniac was. He could break chains and fetters, but he couldn't break the grip of that unclean spirit that had a hold of his heart. Think about it. They tried to chain his arms and he could break the chains. He was strong. I mean, superhuman strong. No man could bind him. But that unclean spirit had him in a chokehold. And only Jesus could deliver him from that. I mean, it takes the power of God to break the bondage of an unclean spirit. It's powerful. Very powerful. That's why I'm trying to be so graphic with it and plain talking here. He hadn't met Jesus, he would have died like that. Think about it. If Jesus hadn't have said, let us go over to the other side. And when he got over there, one man, that man. Jesus crossed the sea for this one soul. And he delivered him from the unclean spirit and saved his soul. And the whole rest of the country rejected him and desired him that he would depart out of their coast. They didn't want him there. So he went back. But Jesus came for this one man. If he hadn't come, this man would have died. Like he was, screaming, crying, day and night in the graveyard, cutting himself, desperate, despairing. You better avoid that loose, sexual, gutter-level, bathroom language that everybody uses these days. The Bible said in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Let your speech be always with grace. What's grace? The influence of God. Don't you know that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment? So we ought to be careful what we speak. And when we speak, we ought to be aware that we're doing it in the presence of God and in the sight of God. God is recording it. God's going to remember every word we say. So let your speech be always with that knowledge that God is listening. As if He was right here, because He is. Seasoned with salt. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Titus chapter 2 and verse 8. You better avoid uncleanness. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings. Shun them. Shun profane babblings. Did you ever hear a bunch of men gathered up in a coffee shop somewhere or something and their profane babblings? Yeah. They do it on the TV shows too and in the movies that everybody likes to watch. And profane babblings. Just a bunch of profanity that ain't got any real purpose or meaning or nothing. Just talking filth. Just to be talking. You ever see anybody can't talk without saying a bunch of filth and profanity? Hmm. There's a whole lot to say about that. Well, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker. You ever get a what they call a canker sore? It just gets worse and worse. That's the way it is. When you don't shun profane talking people, shun them! I do. I ain't got no use to be around people like that. If you can't talk no better than that, get away from me. Or I'm getting away from you. I ain't listening to that junk. I don't have to listen to that. It is so offensive to me when somebody talks filthy. I would rather they would spit on me. Because that is affecting my heart and my mind. That's putting uncleanness in where I don't want it. If they just spit on me, I can wash that off. You can't wash it out of your mind. You heard it. That's right. You better not allow yourself to become involved with unclean people. And in things that you entertain yourself with, you better shun profane and vain babblings. And if you do involve yourself with unclean people, you'll become unclean. And you'll become a potential residence for an unclean spirit who can hold you in bondage. You better take God's warning and advice. It's here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Since everything's going to be dissolved. Since this is all going to pass away, and you know that, shouldn't you be holy in your conversation, in your associations, in your thinking, and in your conversation? Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. You better take heed about this unclean spirit, because you're living in a very, very unclean world right now. And we need to be on top of it. Jesus has power over unclean spirits. He did then and He does now. They were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? And what new doctrine is this?" They had never seen it like this before. An unclean, filthy, profane person was just an unclean, filthy, profane person. They had never seen nobody delivered from it. That's the way they were. That's the way they died. But now they're all amazed. They said, "What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth He even the unclean spirits, and they do obey Him." Jesus would say, "Come out of her, you unclean spirit." And they would tear the person and come out. They were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What word is this? For with authority and power He commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." They were amazed that an unclean person could be made into a clean person by the word of Christ. When Jesus would command it to come out, the unclean spirit would leave, and that person would be clean. Clean. Now, you're going to tell me that all these people nowadays, they claim to be Christians, but they can talk profanity and uncleanness, and they can let it roll out of their mouth just like nothing. They can post it on their Facebook things, filthy, profane words, and there's nothing wrong? Boy, me and you ain't understanding the same book at all, the same way. Jesus commanded the unclean spirits to come out. He didn't take up with them. He didn't say, You know, well, we're just supposed to love everybody, even if they got an unclean spirit. You ain't going to find that junk in the Bible. That's modern idolatry. That's propaganda and rhetoric that's not in the Word of God. Not that. That ain't what it means. That's right. We're to have charity. We're memorizing those verses on Sunday morning. But charity ain't that. You don't love somebody if you don't, if you just ignore their sin and you justify it and you appease them about it. You don't love them. You love yourself. And you just want their fellowship. They were all amazed. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. Mark chapter 3 and verse 11. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against what? Demons? Is that what it says? You'd be amazed how many times the Bible talks about unclean spirits. Everybody's big on demons and everybody's big on angels, but unclean spirits is the most common phrase in the Bible. It talks about people who are possessed with filthy, violent problems. He called unto him his 12 disciples, gave him power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Now, the unclean spirit can be cast out and defeated, and a person can be clean again. This maniac was. Next time we see him, he's sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. That unclean spirit made him naked. He ran naked. When people go without clothes, whether it's completely naked or just almost naked, like most of them do in the summertime now, or even in the wintertime. I've seen people down here in 20-degree weather with shorts on down there in Bob's Bluff. I've seen them this year down there. Crazy? No, they got an unclean spirit. Yes, sir. Nakedness comes because of an unclean spirit. This man was naked. When Jesus met up with him and cast out the unclean spirit, he put on clothes. That's right. You get rid of that unclean spirit and you'll quit trying to show your old nasty self to everybody in the world. Yeah. Amen. You'll pull up your pants and you'll put on some clothes. Yeah, and the women will quit showing their cleavage and their shape and everything. And all everything else. You can't do that unless you got an unclean spirit. What's wrong with our world? Big problem here. But he can be cast out. Okay. A person must repent of his sin and uncleanness and turn to Christ for life. Nobody got delivered from an unclean spirit unless they met Jesus. He took care of it. They didn't meet up with him and go away with it. When Jesus is Lord, is his Lord and sits on the throne of his heart, the unclean spirit will have to leave. And if you try to clean yourself up without giving Jesus the reins of your life, you'll be like this man. Here in Matthew chapter 12, you've all heard this story, but he said this. Jesus told this. He said, when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Self-righteousness, self-effort. Just clean it up, but don't let Jesus in there. Maintain it yourself. No, you're going to get eat up with uncleanness that way. Jesus has to live in there. The Holy Spirit of God has to take up His abode there. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God will make, ye are the temple of God. There ain't no room for God and an unclean spirit. There ain't no room for the Holy Spirit and an unclean spirit to dwell in the same house. Ain't going to do it.
So we should consider this a serious matter, because an unclean person is not going to heaven.
Yeah, I know. Most Baptist preachers are just, they're so tangled up and tongue-tied with all their doctrine, they can't say things like that. Because, you know, I mean, they might have been saved. If they made a profession of faith and they've been baptized, you can't say they're not going to heaven. An unclean person is not going to heaven. That's the big issue. All these people think you can lose your salvation and everything. The reason they think that is because there's this other bunch over here that thinks you can't no matter what you do, so you live in sin. And they know better than you can't live in sin and go to heaven. So, everybody's deceived about a lot of things, aren't they? It's not going to enter there. Don't you understand? That ain't hard for me. That don't confuse me one little bit. You get saved and right with God, and these unclean spirits get cast out of you by Jesus Christ, and you're going to live right and be clean, and you're going to welcome Jesus coming. You're going to long for Him to come. You're going to look forward to the judgment seat. You ain't going to live in fear and dread, and unclean people ain't going to heaven. I can show you in the Bible in numerous places where it gives a list of people who do these things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And you're told in the Scripture not to be deceived about it. So don't be deceived about it. That's one reason. Number one reason we ought to be concerned is because an unclean person is not going to heaven. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, you say, see, you doubted what I said? I just read it to you out of the Bible. That's Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5. It's the Word of God. It's not Mike Miller's opinion. No unclean person has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. So it ought to be something to concern you. You think you can just go to heaven being filthy and dirty? No, you can't. You think, well, I prayed the prayer. Now, I've been baptized. That means nothing if you're unclean. That ain't works for salvation. That's just salvation. Salvation delivers you from sin like the children of Israel were delivered out from under the bondage of Egypt.
So, we live in a pornographic world, and we have only the only answer and the only cure. This is what it is. John chapter 15, verse 3. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe what He says? That's what He said in John chapter 15 and verse 3. He said, Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
Now you're clean, not unclean. Not partially clean. You're clean. Through the word that I have spoken unto you. So when you get saved, you get cleaned up, don't you? That's why cleanliness is next to godliness. If you're clean in your spirit, and you're clean in your heart and mind and soul, you'll be clean in your body too. Yeah. If you're dirty and filthy in your body and in your manner, your conversation, your living, your house, everything else, it's a direct reflection of what's inside of your soul.
Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. How do you get clean?
Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God. It's the water. By washing of, by the and renewing of your minds by the washing of water by the word. The word of God cleans you up.
All right, let me read just a couple more verses here. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The psalmist said in 51:10.
How about this? James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Sound like cleanliness? Sound like getting rid of uncleanness?
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Did y'all listen to that?
That's pretty straight and sharp, ain't it? I mean, it's just exactly what I preached this whole message about. The Bible says so. What I'm telling you tonight is the truth of God. It's the Word of God. Unclean spirits. I hope you ain't got one tonight. I hope you're aware that you will have one if you don't separate yourself from this filthy world. You can't feast at the devil's table and not be affected by it. What you put in your body, you assimilate and it becomes a part of your life. And what you put in your mind becomes a part of your soul, your spirit, and makes you what you are. You are what you eat. Well, you are what you hear and take in through your eyes and your ears, too. You feast on filth, and you're going to have an unclean spirit. So don't do it. Do what that last verse that I just read there. Do that. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Hope you'll think about that. It's something very needful for everybody. You don't have to talk filthy. You don't have to use all this slang. You don't have to talk these bathroom words all the time. Shame on you. You oughtn't to do it if you're doing it. You ought to get your mind out of that level. Come on up a little bit. Be a more civilized. Be a more dignified. Be a more godly person than that. That don't raise your esteem in the eyes of those around you. It lowers your esteem in their eyes. It don't make you more acceptable to anybody except the low-life, unclean people of the world. It thrills them and tickles them to hear you say something unclean. It really encourages them in their sin to hear you say some unclean thing or see some uncleanness about you. Yeah, they go away smiling about it. Does that make you happy? Is that what you want? Not me. No, sir. I know that we used to be a lot cleaner than we are now. I'm talking about the churches and the people I was around. People didn't talk filthy and say things that they do now so freely. I hear things all the time that I'd have washed you kids' mouths out with soap for saying. It's uncleanness and you better beware. It's a road that leads to somewhere you don't want to go. And it'll have effects on people that you don't even know yet. Some of you are going to have children and stuff down the road and it's going to affect them and you don't even know it yet. Better beware. All right, let's stand. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this that is so true. And Lord, I know I've told these folks the truth tonight. And Lord, I pray you'd help all of us, myself included, to be more careful in all of this. And Lord, help us to turn it off, stay away from it, turn our face away, turn our eyes away, turn it off, don't listen to it, get away from it, get away from people that talk like this, that want to spread their filth into my mind and heart and soul. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to purify our hearts and do what this last verse said, to purify our flesh and soul and spirit and live holy before you. And Lord, we sure need your help because we're living in Sodom and we're vexed daily with the conversation of the wicked. Lord, pray you'd help these kids, these young people, to resist it and to get away from it and to keep their minds and hearts pure through the Word of God. If they fill their mind and heart with your Word, if they think on the things of God and the Word of God, I just read to them where you said they can be clean that way.
Pray they'd understand it and believe it and do it. Help us get home, Lord. Pray. Bless the weak. Meet our needs. Help us, Lord. All the troubles, all the sick folks around us, lost people in our family. Lord, please deal with hearts. Help us to, Lord, see some miracles soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right.